Thank you for downloading this message from our Father's house.
I'm excited to break and deliver this word. I believe it's needful. I believe it's necessary. And it may go a little different than what you guys may expect. But God's gave me a word, and I'm excited. Amen. And I believe God, and I thank God for the worship. Give the worship a hand. Praise the team a hand. They're doing such an awesome job. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Genesis, chapter number 19. Genesis, chapter number 19. We're going to start reading at verse number 12 and down through verse 29. And when you find that, if you're physically able to and willing, would you stand in honor of the reading of the word this morning? Genesis, chapter 19, verse 12. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. Genesis chapter number 19. I want to start reading at verse number 12. This is what the word says. It says, "And the men said unto Lot, have you any besides son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, whatsoever you have in the city, bring them out of this place." And these are the angels of the Lord speaking. "We will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." And Lot went out and spake to his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, "Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, and the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your daughters, which are here, lest you be consumed in the iniquity of the city." And while he lingered, notice that word lingered. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters. The Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth, and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, "Escape for your life. Look not behind you, neither stay you in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest you be consumed." And Lot said unto them, "Oh, not so, my Lord. But now your servant has found grace in your sight, and you have magnified your mercy, which you showed unto me in saving my life. I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape there, and my soul shall live." And he said unto him, "See, I have accepted you concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which you've spoken. Haste thee, escape here, for I cannot do anything till you come there." Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. And the sun was risen upon the earth. And when Lot entered into Zoar, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place. Now, Abraham was a friend of God. Abraham interceded for Lot and his family. And he got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord and looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain. And behold, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham. That God remembered Abraham. And sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, and he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for the atmosphere of worship. Father, I thank you for your glory. God, I ask in this holy moment that you would speak your word, not only in passing words of man's wisdom, but Father, in demonstration of your love, power, and spirit and anointing. God, I exalt you. And I lift you in this room. Father, we bless you right now and say that you are good, that you are gracious, that you are holy, and that you are merciful. God, have your way in the midst. Let us not be hearers only, but God, I ask that we be doers of the word. I pray that you would guide the order of this message. And I declare, God, that a baptism of repentance would cover this house. Oh, God, I pray that you raise up watchmen and intercessors, just as Abraham out of this place, God, to stand in the gap and to make up the hedge for your people in this nation. For your word says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. Your word declares righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is approach to any people. Father, I ask that righteousness cover this place and have your way in this room. Father, we glorify you and we bless you and we honor you, God. If there's anyone in this room that is lost or needs deliverance or needs healing, I pray for salvation. I declare healing. I declare deliverance. I declare redemption. I declare, oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I declare breakthrough in this room. I declare breakthrough in this room. Father, I ask that a breaker anointing would cover this place, so God, I pray that you would show us your glory. Show us your glory. Show us your glory. In the name of Jesus, have your way in this word. It's all about you. Lord, I stand behind this pulpit and I exalt you and I speak with words, your boldness. I speak your word with your anointing. And I pray right now, God, that you would have your way and let this word go forth not only in this place, but in the sound waves, oh God, across the internet and across television and wherever this word goes. And I pray, let it enter homes, let it enter cars, let it convict souls, let it bring us to our knees, oh God, bring us to our knees. Win the attention of your people again. And God, I pray, let a prophetic anointing be voiced in this pulpit. Let this be holy ground, oh God. We consecrate this ground unto you, Father. Woo. Show us your glory. Show us your glory. Let your angels be with me and your Holy Spirit cover me, Father. We thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus. The church says amen. You may be seated. Just a moment. There's a very, very special anointing to be able to preach this word this morning. It takes him. Oh, hallelujah. I want to preach on the subject of America, the new Sodom and Gomorrah. America, the new Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, before we get into this word, I want you to understand something. That Sodom and Gomorrah, we always place such an avenue about homosexuality. But the fact of the matter is that there was a lot of sin going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. Put up Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 49 through 50. Put that up for just a second. We'll get right into this word, but I want to follow the leading of the Spirit. Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 49 through 50. Behold, now I want you to understand something about this. This is why Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Behold, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom, pride. Homosexuality is not the first word up there, guys. So you got to understand, same-sex unions, you can't call it gay marriage because that's an oxymoron. It doesn't make any sense. Because marriage was established by God our Father between one man and one woman for life. Amen. But this is really the reality of why Sodom and Gomorrah fail. Pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Go to the next verse. I feel such a special anointing on this word. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good. If you want to know why America's falling, it's because of pride. It's because of laziness. It's because of fullness of bread. It's because America's not bending its knees. It's because America's not standing on the word. It's because America's not fasting. Where's the real church going to rise and not compromise with sin? Jesus. Pride falls
cause before destruction. God is looking for a church that will not compromise with sin. He said, be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I'll get deeper in this in just a little bit. Before I get into this word, listen, same-sex unions is not what's destroying marriage. It's adultery. It's pornography. Listen, I can't talk about homosexuality unless I first talk about pastors sleeping and cheating on their wives. Oh, don't get quiet. It's easy to preach against homosexuality when the sin doesn't relate to you or your family. But the moment your son becomes a homosexual, or the moment your daughter becomes a homosexual, then it becomes a reality. But God is looking for a church that will say, you know what? We want to stand against adultery. We want to stand against pornography. Don't compromise with sin. Don't shortchange the word. It either all works or none of it works. I choose to stand on the word. Marriage is between one man and one woman for life. For love. For love. So I told Pastor, I said, that needs to be a part of our statement of faith as a church. Marriage, the sanctity of marriage, is between one man and one woman for life. In the beginning, God created them male and female. Do you know Jesus said that? They say, well, Jesus didn't talk about homosexuality. But when Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 through 6, he said, in the beginning, God created them male and female, that they would leave the house of their parents and they would come together and they would be one flesh. In one statement, Jesus debunked adultery, divorce, homosexuality, polygamy. In one statement. So I got news for you. If we are Christians and we are believers, we need to stand with Jesus and understand what God created, because the enemy's objective is to destroy the family unit. It's to destroy the family unit. Not just gay unions or same-sex unions, but also adultery, also through the television, also through music, also through Hollywood, also through the computer screen. Oh, to get fathers to leave their wives, to get fathers drunken, to get fathers cheating on their spouses, to get fathers abandoning their role in the home as the prayer warriors. Jesus. I want to know if there's anyone in this room that has made a choice that they refuse to let the enemy destroy their family. Don't let the enemy destroy your family. Stay close with your spouse. Be faithful to your spouse. Love your children. Pray over your children. Bless your children. Speak life to your children. Pray over your children. Encourage your children. Guard your children. Guide your children. Instruct your children. You never look at your children and you curse your children and say, you're not good enough and you're never going to amount to anything. The devil is a liar. You may not speak it, I don't know, but I speak over this youth. You're going to be ambassadors for God. You're going to shake a nation. You're going to change a nation. You're going to the nations. You're winning souls. You're in kingdom business. God's going to use your abilities and talents as platforms of ministry. Why? Because somebody needs to be as Abraham and speaks those things that are not as though they already were. Hallelujah. And speak the word of God. Hallelujah. Jesus, can we dive deeper? Can we dive in this word? Now, let's go in this for just a moment. Jesus, why is homosexuality a sin? Because it was against the original order and plan of God. Amen. Against the original order of the plan of God. Because man with man and woman with woman cannot reproduce. And even if, and a man and woman, yeah, they can reproduce, but it's got to be in a marital union before God. Wow. Fact of the matter, Bible says in Leviticus, let's go there, Leviticus, and this is the problem with America. We get into a place where we're like in the time of Judges. Everything's right in man's eyes. Everything's right in your eyes. Postmodern culture. Whatever truth is in your eyes, that's truth, and that's absolute. This word of God, that blood shed for this Bible to be in your hand. Do you understand that just yesterday, day before yesterday, that a homosexual man filed a $7 million lawsuit against Christian publishing companies because it produced homosexuality as a sin in this book? At least the homosexual man realizes it's a sin in this book. Oh, the church don't even read it to know it. But going against Zondervan and all these different Christian publishing companies to say that book, that Bible, they're not going to Islam. No, no, no. They're not going to Muslims because they know that Muhammad stood and said that Lot was saved from Sodom and Gomorrah and talked about Sodom and Gomorrah being destroyed. That's in their book. They don't talk about how in Iraq they buried homosexuals underneath the ground and chopped their heads off because they were homosexual. No, no, no. We don't talk about the homosexuals back in the late 90s. 100 of them in Saudi Arabia arrested and flogged and almost beat to death. Yeah. Oh, but we're full of hate. Oh, we're going there. Buckle your seatbelt. We're going on a journey this morning. We're going there because we want to preach the truth. We saw him yesterday through text message. We, Pastor and Brandon, we were talking. We're not compromising. We're not sugarcoating. I'm not scratching itching ears anymore. We ain't got time for that. It's time for the real church to realize what sin really is. And sin is not a list of do's and don'ts. Sin is a condition of the heart that rebels against the order and the plan and the purposes of God. And whatever it is, we got to lay it down and say, God, we're selling out and giving it to you. We're selling out. God is looking for a church to surrender and sell out and say, this is right and this is wrong. But I'm not going to straddle the fence. I'm not going to fall in the trenches, Pastor said. I'm not going to compromise. I'm not running back and forth. I'm going to stay on this side where the glory is. God wants to know if there's anybody in Eastern Kentucky that's going to stand on the righteous side. There's a lion drawn. Get on the right side. Get on the right side. I said get on the right side. Hallelujah. 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 You cannot be a gay Christian. Just like you can't be an adulterated Christian. Just like you can't be an alcoholic Christian. Just like you can't be a lying Christian. I got help with me today. I'm not just talking about them. I'm talking about God's with me. I'm telling you, there's an anointing on this word. You can't be a gossiping Christian. A cussing Christian. A cheating Christian. You either live it or you don't. There's no middle ground. If there's compromise in your life, lay it down and sell out to God so you can get the glory of God. Hallelujah. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, the word says, you shall not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination unto the Lord. That means that if man lies with man and woman lies with woman, it's a sin. You know what? I'm going to try to get you to a place. If you've got a notebook and paper, write the scriptures down because we're going to have to go through this quick. Because you need to know what the word says. And it's a shame that preachers have to stand behind the pulpit and explain everything without the people of God reading the book. Because there may come a day, just as I mentioned earlier, where the Bible's being sued and they consider it a hate crime to even have a Bible, and that book may be ripped from your hands. You better have enough God in you and enough of the word in you that if it does get ripped, you already know what it says, where it says it, so you can live and walk in the truth. Immediately the homosexual community rises up and they say, well, they say, first of all, they say, but the Levitical law says that if a woman loses her virginity before marriage, there will be stone at the door. That's true. That's true. See, oh, now it got so quiet. Because you compromise because you think, well, we're going to get married, so it's okay anyway. It'll curse. It'll bring a curse unless you get the blood applied and get grace on that and leave it and don't go back to it and repent of it. Wow. Is this okay? Is it okay, Pastor? Here's the thing. Lay it down, ask God for forgiveness, and don't do it again. It's just that simple. That's what repentance is. It's not apologizing, it's repentance. Because if you're marrying because you got pregnant with in a relationship and that's the reason you got married for the wrong reasons. If you got married because you can't help your flesh, it's the wrong reason. God, the only way a relationship's going to be sustained is if it's by the love and grace of God. God is love. He's got to be the foundation if you want to make it. But here's what's so crazy. Because that's brought up. But here's the thing, guys. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. He said, I didn't come to do away with the law. He said, I come to fulfill it. I came to fulfill. What's that mean? It means sin is still sin. But I bore the punishment. The consequences and the punishment of your sin. Because the wages of sin is death. Do you understand? You have to work to sin. When you have to work to get high. You'll steal, you'll lie, you'll cheat, you'll work to get the fix. You'll work for it. Jesus died so that the gift of God can be given to you, and that is eternal life. God came to give you life. You have to work to sin, but life is a gift. Jesus came as the best gift to us. Because even though we have sinned, we've all sinned and come short. We've all messed up and made mistakes. But he said he came to fulfill the law. Meaning that if you believe on the blood of Jesus, you don't have to die and enter into eternal punishment. You can have eternal life. He came to fulfill the law. And the grace is not a crutch to sin. But it's a pathway that you can be like him. And then despite your history and despite your past, you can go to God and say, God, I ask you for forgiveness. And by his grace and by his mercy, he can give you a new beginning. He can deliver you and he can set you free. The Bible says in John chapter 1, the word says that Jesus came in grace and truth. They work hand in hand. The truth will convict you, but his grace will forgive you. I said his truth will convict you, but his grace will forgive you. This is not about condemning us. It's about understanding what do we need to lay down and what do we need to give up in order to be like him. Jesus. Hallelujah. Is this all right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The homosexual community, I've heard them argue. That's why I'm speaking this word. Is to get you to understand how to defend your faith. An experience without a backing up of a support of why you choose to serve God is not going to make much of a difference to a world that's lost. Better have the word. Now, homosexuals argue, what about the dietary law? It's a sin to eat pork. It's a sin to eat shellfish. It's a sin. That's what the dietary law says. See, we're all so confused because we don't even know what the book says. It's amazing that Muslims and homosexuals and people like that will study the word just to try to prove you wrong, and you've got nothing to back yourself up with. That's why a lot of Christians don't stand and argue with Muslims and Jews and other people, because they don't have enough knowledge of the word to defend their faith. They're definitely not going to read their books to go against them. We can't even read our own. The dietary law. But it's what Jesus said. It's not what goes in a man that defiles him, but it's what comes out. You're not in sin because of what you eat or what you don't eat. It's that jealousy. It's that gossip. It's that bitterness. It's that hatred. It's that hurt that's inside that we got to be free from. It's that hurt inside that we got to be delivered from. It's that pain inside we need God to deal with. God is saying, it's more than what you do. It's the condition of your heart. Gee, if Jesus said, it's not what goes in, but it's what comes out. We need to understand and analyze our life and see what we need to lay down. See, it's easy to preach against alcoholism if you don't drink. But my bigger question is, why are you drinking in the first place? What are you trying to drown out? What are you trying to avoid? Why is your life so miserable that you're turning to drugs and you're turning to alcohol and you're turning to pornography? What is wrong in your life? There's something missing. And the only void, the only way that void can be filled is with the tangible love of a merciful Father being extended to you. Love of God. Love of God. Romans chapter 1 verses 24 down to verse 32. The word says that man has left its natural use. What's that mean? It means homosexuality is unnatural. It's unnatural. You say, they may say, well, it's natural to me and not natural to you. But let me give you something. We live in a generation, church, where we are so confused because the generation before, there's been rape, there's been molestation. Wow. You're quiet. Verbal abuse, physical abuse, being bullied, and all these different things. And you either go to, and a lot of times there's either bondage, there's some type of bondage that opens up to a child when they go through that stuff that it takes God to free them from, because that's the only world they've ever known. Now, I'm not saying every homosexual was molested and raped. That ain't what I'm saying. What I'm saying, though, is that a lot of times we let things that's happened cause us to be formed upon us in such a way that it's almost like it becomes a part of us. And things begin to open up in the spirit. And the only way that spirit can be broken off people, it could be hatred formed as a result. Bitterness. It could be bitterness and hatred toward a specific man or a specific woman, a specific gender. Wow. Hallelujah. But that's where we come in. Because if all we do is say, it's a sin, it's a sin, it's a sin, but we don't understand that it's a sin because it separates you from God, and it's a rebellion against God, and it's going against God, and there's a spirit that's attached to that because of abuse and hurt and brokenness. We've got to come in and say, listen, there's a God in heaven who loves you, and he will forgive you, and he will heal those wounds in your life. If you want to see what you keep in a closet and what you keep covered up, God can't deliver you from. Is it? God can't deliver you from things you keep covered up all the time. That's why you got to confess to people. And listen, the church has been so conditioned, especially in the southern part of America, to hate homosexual people. We've been conditioned to hate because it doesn't relate to us. Hallelujah. Come on. Yeah, you snarl your nose and look the other way when you see two girls holding hands in the mall. But what about the adulterer? I'm trying to get you to understand. We put homosexuality as the epitome and pinnacle of sin. And we got to understand, wait just a minute. James chapter 3 says that your tongue sets the fire of hell. Jesus. Proverbs chapter 6. Me and Brandon was talking about this yesterday. Six things does the Lord hate. A proud look. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaks lies. And he that sows discord among the brethren. Amen. What are you saying, Justin? What I'm saying is before you go hating on a group of people, look at yourself in the mirror and say, what do I need to repent? What do I need to do different? What do I need to change in my life? Do I have a proud look? Do I have hatred in my heart? Have I shed innocent blood? Have I spoke evil? Have I lied? Have I sowed discord? What have I done with my tongue? If God loves me and I love him, why in the world am I going to do something he hates? It's time to love. We need to speak life, and we need to speak hope, and we need to speak love. Jesus, it's okay. I hope so. Give me just a few more moments. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus. This is what he said in Romans chapter number 1. He said this, they've dishonored their bodies. Did you change God's truth into lies? The only reason I'm talking about this is so you can become biblically understanding of why homosexuality is a sin. Amen? We need to be a church of prayer, of revival, but we got to be a church of the Word. Served a creature more than the Creator, went against nature. Worked that which is unseemly, receives the reward of their error. Have now retained God in their knowledge and were given over to a reprobate mind. In other words, they don't understand why it's a sin. And it takes God to break that. But this is what the Word says in the last part of the last verse. It says, not only do they have pleasure in these things, but also they approve of them that do them. What God was saying was, it's not just a sin to be a homosexual, but to approve of it. Jesus, let's not approve of something that goes against the will of God. It may not be something you participate in, but if you put your stamp of approval on it, watch out. If you vote a political party that stands against the word of God, watch out. I don't preach it, I don't care. At the Democratic National Convention last year, I sat there and I watched while the name of God was booed. And Jerusalem being the capital of Israel was booed. But same-sex union being the pinnacle of the Democratic Party and their whole focus, they had a standing ovation. And you voted D? Shame on you. Shame. 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 Because your daddy was, and because your granddaddy was, because your great-granddaddy was, don't make it right. Vote the word. Vote the word. Vote the word. Vote the word. Listen to Brian Karn. Preached the other night. I was blown away. I was texting people. I was telling people, get on there, you better watch. He was throwing it down. But he began to talk. He's a black man, and he's on his 5,000, 6,000 people in this auditorium in the church at World Harvest, and I watch him preach. And he preached at how, and he's a black man, and he talked about how Obama had no business at a man's funeral behind a pulpit singing Amazing Grace, when on that very same day, they legalized same-sex marriage. And he said, it's not a skin problem, it's a sin problem. I agree. It's not about a color of a man's skin. And to equate homosexuality with racism doesn't injustice to our African-American brothers and sisters. An injustice. Whipped, scourged, blood, sweat, tears, sold from Africa into slavery. You're going to equate that by a lifestyle you choose to live? God have mercy on America. Wake up, America. Wake up, America. Wake up, America. We need to wake up and get on our knees and repent to God. Jesus. You can get mad at me, that's fine. You can leave the church, that's fine. This church ain't for everybody, I understand. But we need to be people of the word. And we need to realize and understand America has become the new Sodom and Gomorrah. We need to not just because of homosexuality, pride, prideness, laziness. We need to wake up. And we need to stand on the word. And we need to pray. And we need to turn. Where are the preachers at? Weeping between the porch and the altar. We got to weep again. We got to intercede again. We got to pray again. Revelation chapter 22 and 21, both chapters, said homosexuals will go to the lake of fire. It also says homosexuals will not enter into heaven. It's a word. It's a word. But it also mentions liars and all those different things too. You understand you're a liar when you have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. You look holy but you're really not holy. You go to prayer meeting but you don't pray at home. Pastor, I'm going to preach it. I don't care. Hallelujah. We got to get on our knees. I'm not preaching this to make you afraid. I'm not trying to condemn you. Condemnation comes from a spirit of religion. But when the truth is being preached, it will convict your heart and say, what do I need to lay down? Is there anything in my life that doesn't reflect the creator of heaven and earth? Is there the reason why the law was made and God gave Moses the law was to separate his people from everybody else? That you're in the world, but you're not of it. Because homosexuality was one of the ways that Baal and Astarte and all these false gods was worshipped. In other words, your sin shows that you worship a different god besides your creator. Wow. Wow. Some of us need to smash our idols this morning. I said some of us need to smash our idols this morning. Your idol might be homosexuality, adultery, or pornography. It may not be a lust problem. It may be a tongue problem. May not be a tongue problem, maybe a deep down wound heart problem of bitterness and hurt and anger. But whatever it is, give it to God and lay it all down and confess it to God and repent and leave a changed person. Amen. 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 God help America. God help America. Ephesians 5 through 5, verses 3 and 5 talks about an unclean person, which is referring to homosexuals. Galatians 5, 19 through 21 says they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Colossians 3, 5 through 6 calls homosexuality an inordinate affection because it refers to homosexuality because it's not natural. But it says it must be what? Mortified. You got to die to the flesh, y'all. Die to your opinion. Die to your flesh to be who God has called you to be. Jesus, it's a sin, but you know what? There's hope, and it's in repentance toward God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says that in the last days there'll be people of natural affection, without natural affection. Homosexuality in the last days. We're in the last days. That gives us something to be excited about. Get your heads up. He's coming. Daniel chapter 11, verse 37, the Bible speaking of the Antichrist. You know what the Antichrist is? It's a person, but there's a spirit already raging. It was raging in the days of Paul, and it's raging now more than ever. But there's a person of Antichrist that's going to be coming. An Antichrist spirit is just something against Christ. It's against Jesus being the only way of salvation. It's against Jesus being the access to the Heavenly Father. Daniel 11, 37, the Bible says the Antichrist will not regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. The man, the Antichrist, will either go against women's rights or he will be a homosexual. That's what that means. Wake up. I'm not calling our president the Antichrist because it don't line up. But what I'm saying is that we need to understand everything is a foreshadowing and a forerunner. What is to come? But where are the John the Baptists? Where are the John the Baptists? Where are the men? Where are the women? Where are those who's going to stand in the gap and make up the hedge? Where are the men who is going to stand on the truth? Where are the women who's going to pray? Where are the ones that's going to prepare the way of the Lord in the hearts of men and women? Where are the preachers who's going to stand in the face of the Pharisees and say, oh, generation of vipers, you that work iniquity, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. Where are the John the Baptist? Because he's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming, and I'm on the winning side. It may be a remnant right now, but if the remnant will get unified, the greatest glory we've ever seen is about to be revealed. I said his glory is about to be revealed. Signs and wonders and miracles happen. Brandon said it just a couple weeks ago. I welcome persecution. Why? Because that's where the glory is. That's where the glory is. That's where healings come. That's where signs and wonders and miracles come. Throw us in the prison because we won't marry a same-sex couple. It's okay. We'll take revival there. Do what you want to do. Do what you want to do. The whole agenda has a demonic push behind it to shut up the mouths of prophets and preachers. But the real church, will you stand? Will the real church stand? Will the real church stand? God's looking for a real church, not a counterfeit Christianity, not spineless jelly-back preachers, but the real church. Rise up and say, this is who we are. We're people of prayer. We're people of the word. We will not back down. We will not give up. Blessing on Facebook and social media ain't gonna bring revival to America. Jesus, Facebook, social media, Twitter, tweeting all your feelings. Some of y'all need to quit tweeting and posting all your feelings. My goodness, why are you being so emotional? Nobody wants to read all that. It's the truth. It's the truth. So-and-so's having a bad day. Let me tell you what a bad day is. A bad day is if you're in Sudan and you're getting your arms and legs chopped off because you refuse to deny the name of Jesus. That's a bad day. That's a bad day. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. 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 God's looking for the real church. He's looking for the real church. I gave you several scriptures on why the Bible says and several I hope you have a greater understanding why homosexuality is a sin. But let's get to Sodom and Gomorrah as we close this message out. Abraham was the father of the faith. Came to pass that Abraham and Lot left Haran and they went towards Canaan. Because God had already told Pastor, he already told Abraham, there's a promise over there. Jesus. They took all of their livestock, all their possessions, and they went to Canaan. Now, I want you to understand something. This is what the word says. Canaan's very, very huge. Two or three different nations make up Canaan land in modern day culture. Egypt, Israel, whatever. And here's the thing. They went there. And their possessions were so great that Lot and Abraham couldn't even live with each other. Wow. That's pretty big. You think you can't barely, your brother and sister's taking your own clothes and taking all your stuff and you're getting frustrated and you can't live with your brother and sister and family? Think about being in three different nations and you still got so much stuff. You can't even live with each other. This is why Lot went to Sodom. They had too much stuff when they should have left some stuff in Haran. And they tried to carry the baggage of Haran into Canaan, and it didn't belong. And what it caused was a wedge and a division between the sheepmen and the herdmen of Abraham and the herdmen of Lot. Some of us got too much stuff getting in the way. It's causing division in the church. Too much pride, too much selfishness. Maybe it's too much stuff, period, just things. But we need to let some stuff back in Haran so we can dwell together in unity. Because this would have never happened to Lot. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is not the substance of what you have. Faith is the substance of what you don't have. The faith was in the substance of Canaan, not in Haran. Quit trying to take your baggage everywhere you go. Leave it down, because there's a promise waiting for you in Canaan.
Lot said, Abraham and Lot got together, said, we can't have this division any longer. You go your way, I'll go my way. And Lot lifted his eyes and he looked to Sodom and Gomorrah. And this is what the word says. It was just like the Garden of Eden. It looked beautiful, but looks can be so deceiving. Said, I'm going there. It's watered. It's beautiful. It's a paradise in Sodom. Let's go. And he loaded his family and he went. He went full, but he left that place empty.
Your Sodom and Gomorrah will leave you empty, y'all. It'll leave you empty.
Because the Bible says it came to pass that two angels of the Lord along with God went and visited Abraham and came knocking on the door. And it came in, began to reveal the promised seed. You're going to give birth to a son. A promised seed, it's coming. Sarah laughed. He said, why is she laughing? She said, I wasn't laughing. He said, yeah, you were laughing. Don't laugh at the promises of God. They will come to pass if you stay faithful. They're conditional. Amen. That's what the word says. He said, but the two angels that came ready to leave said, that we're leaving to Sodom. God is sending us to destroy that place. But Abraham knew, my substance calls Lot. That's my nephew. That's my family. And he began to intercede before God. Would you save that city if there's 50 righteous? I will, but there's not 50. I'll save it if there's 45. Would you save it if there's 45? I would, but they're not there. I'd save it if there's 40. They're not there. God, would you save it if there was just 10? I would. The only reason why America hasn't been destroyed is because there's still a remnant of righteous people in this place. But if we continue to mumble and grumble and be disunited and fuss over things that don't even matter, about how loud our instrument is, about my pew being comfortable, about how someone took my parking spot, then we won't see a move of God, and we will be a nation going under rather than going over. Leave Haran behind and go to Canaan. Don't be enticed by Sodom and Gomorrah. Because destruction's coming. Look at your neighbor and tell him destruction's coming. Destruction's coming. Because these two angels, Abraham began to intercede. And the two angels went to Lot. Get your family out of here. Destruction's coming. When they went in the door, it's what happened. The Bible says homosexuals saw these angels walk in. They thought they were men. And they came, the Bible says, from every quarter. Because in that day, in biblical times, nations were divided in regions by race and creed. They came from every quarter and went knocking on the door. We saw these two men and we won them. Don't mess with the angels of the Lord now. You better hope angels are on your side. And so the word says that Lot said, you can have my daughters, but you can't have them. But they began to beat on the door, and those angels got Lot and pulled him back in. And what happened? Those homosexual men were covered in blindness, that they couldn't even find the doorknob. If you want to wait into the angels and glory of God, it's not going to be through sin. Sin will blind you. If you want access to the glory, it's got to be through righteousness. Lay the stuff down at the door so you can enter in into the glory. Amen. So we've come to destroy this place, and this is where we get into the text. I hear you, Holy Spirit. If you want God to change you, you've got to change your environment. If you want God to change you, you've got to change your environment. You can't be around the same crowd all the time and expect to change. If you want to change, change your surroundings. Lot wanted to stay in Sodom and Gomorrah. God told Lot, go tell your family, get out of here. Abraham, now, Pastor Abraham interceded for Lot and his family. But Lot and his family had a choice to make. God sent the angels. God warned them. God heeded Abraham's prayer. But they still had a free will to choose to linger or to leave. Don't linger on the wrong side too long. It can destroy you. Don't linger around the
too long, it can destroy you.
Sons-in-law mocked, but Lot, it came time and Lot began to linger. So to the point the angels grabbed Lot by the hand, his wife and daughters, and got him out of the city. Run to the mountain. Said, we don't want to go to the mountain. We want to go to the city. They ended up going to the mountain because they were so scared after seeing all the cities being destroyed. But they said, let's go. And he said, that's all right. You go to Zoar and stay there. And this is what the Bible says. Fire and brimstone and destruction begin to rain down on Sodom and Gomorrah. May America be like Nineveh and repent and not like Sodom and Gomorrah. They love their sin too much. You can apologize, but you got to repent. Got to repent. They left and they went on. And Lot's wife, what happened? She looked back. Because the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah was pride, fullness of bread. All of their stuff was there. They had no time to carry it out. They had to leave it. And she looked back and she turned into a monument of salt and powder. The same fire that destroyed that city destroyed her because she looked back. I feel God is calling you to leave Sodom and Gomorrah and don't look back. You see, church, I hope you understand this word this morning. It's more than just saying homosexuality is a sin. And it's called sodomy for a reason, because it was originated from that place. But you've also got to understand, it was pride. It was laziness. It was selfishness. And she looked back, and all that remained was Lot and his two daughters. And here's the thing. Abraham got up the next morning and he looked and he seen everything destroyed. I've heard generations before me say, the America we knew, my grandchildren and great-grandchildren will never know. But I still believe that history belongs to the intercessor. I still believe there's some Abrahams going to rise that's going to be spiritual fathers and mothers in this generation. I still believe there's going to be some Lots in this room. You've been toying around and lingering in Sodom and Gomorrah for too long because you loved your sin too much. But the angel of the Lord is reaching his hand. Grab me by the hand. Let me pull you out of here. Let me get you out of here. And when he pulls you out and you reach for his hand, don't look back. Don't look back. It's just like you're driving down the road. If you stay looking in that rearview mirror for too long, you're going to wreck somewhere out in front of you. But if you stay with your eyes focused and you never look in the rearview mirror, those things from behind is going to catch up with you. And you want to swing in the wrong lane at the wrong time. God will allow you to glance back to remember where he brought you from. But he doesn't want you to look back to say, I have a lot of stuff back there. I remember that Garden of Eden experience. I remember how beautiful it looked, how easy it was. And I'll close with this. 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 6. Let me get there. Paul speaking to the church of Corinth. Let me get there. Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Put up 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11 right quick. Because maybe me just preaching it, you won't grab it and grasp it and understand it. But maybe you looking at it and reading it, you might get it a little better. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. I'm going to read that. And then we'll pray. Jesus. Appreciate Daniel and Brandon sticking up here with me. May not get many amens out there, but they've been amening me the whole time. verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. Now the word effeminate there means homosexuality. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That's also homosexuality. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. There was people in the Corinthian church that were homosexuals. There was people in the homosexual church that coveted, that did all kinds of stuff. But Paul said, that was some of you guys. But you are washed. You're sanctified. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. And by the Spirit of our God. What are you saying, Pastor? What I'm saying to you is this. That sin may feel like it's become part of you and it's wedged so deep. But there was some in the Corinthian church just like it. But by the name of Jesus. That name we're to exalt. That name that is above every name. That name. Of healing and deliverance and miracles. That name will wash you. It will change you. It will deliver you, and it will cleanse you. But you've got to be willing to turn from Sodom and Gomorrah and never, ever look back. What is your Sodom and Gomorrah? What is it? Let's stand on the cross of this building. It's time for us to lay down any form of religious pride that we have. And I hope in this message you understand that we examine the biblical truths about homosexuality. Even talked about this nation. Talked about America. But what is your Sodom and what is your Gomorrah? And what do you need to lay down and leave behind and not look back? When you come to this altar this morning, church, you're coming here not to apologize, not to pick it back up in two or three more days, not to be led by emotion, but led by the Spirit. It's time to lay it down and never look back, but go forward to the promises that God has for you. Everyone bow your head, close your eyes. No one looking around. I want to give you a chance to pray this morning as the praise and worship team makes their way to the stage. Jesus. Father, I feel your presence in this room. You've been behind this word. God, we could have said more, but I believe you said what you wanted to be said. But Father, I ask in this holy moment with you, we examine ourselves. Father, I ask that the real church will rise. Let the real church rise. Let us repent, oh God. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to ask you, if there is a Sodom and Gomorrah in your life that you need to lay down, whatever it is, you're lingering there too long. God's hand is reaching out, and you need to reach out to Him. No one looking around. If there's some people in this place that's got to leave Sodom and Gomorrah behind, and you're ready to be washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus, you're ready for a new you. Some of you need a Holy Ghost makeover, and this is a good place to get it right up here. And you need change. You need to lay some stuff down. I want you to raise your hand to heaven right now and say, that's me, Justin. Raise your hand. You put your hands down. About 80% of you didn't, 90% of you didn't raise your hand. Don't sit here and lie before God. Don't do it. Because that means you're perfect and you know no repentance. So I want to ask one more time. If there's a Sodom and there's a Gomorrah that you need to leave behind, I'm not talking about homosexuality. I'm talking about a general thing that you're lingering around for too long. It could be sexual perversion. It could be immorality. It could be idolatry. It could be prayerlessness. It could be laziness. It could be pride. Fullness of bread. But God is speaking to your heart. And you need to leave Sodom behind. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Don't look back. God's calling you to step out of your seat today. But before you do, I want you to raise your hand before God and say, there's a Sodom and Gomorrah I'm leaving behind this day. Raise your hand to heaven now. It's more like it. You can put your hands down. God's speaking to you. Make your way out of this, your seat. Get to this altar with a determination that you're not going to get up until there's a shift in your life. Come on. He's calling out to you.
More information about Our Father's House or upcoming events, please log on to www.ourfathershouseky.org.